Good evening and welcome to Horror. I'm Lee.
I'm Adam.
And we're here this evening for something really different and really exciting. We heard about a new movie coming out and we've been contacted by the makers, both writers we have here with us this evening. So that's Malachi Sakaya, is that correct? Awesome.
That's perfect.
And Zoe Wassman. Welcome,
That's
guys. How are we doing?
Oh, so good. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, very excited. We're excited to talk about our project. I mean, it's all we think about. So,
I think that's the thing with independent movies. Like, it must, I've never been a part, but where you have so much to do, it must be hugely time consuming. And you must have to fill so many different roles to get through a project like this.
Oh, yeah. And we had very few people to fill those roles. So, for every one person we had, they did 4 to 5 jobs. And that's just, you know, where we're at in the industry, fulfilling those roles is very expensive. It's very time consuming. And when it's not what someone is doing on a professional level at that point in their lives, it's also hard to make that kind of time. So every single person actually went out of their way, took PTO, just really committed and gave us everything that they had to spare for the entire year and a half that we were in pre-production and production. And it's crazy, like you said, with the timeline, we were in pre-production for 1 year and 3 months, and we filmed the movie in 3 weeks. So you prep for this long, and then it is crunch time, and you just got to nail it.
It's kind of this thing where, like, if you are an independent filmmaker and you have even an idea for a movie you want to make, it starts out on that level of almost like a dream or like a huge goal, but you don't know what steps to take to get to it because you don't have all these resources available. And so you, even with the curating a script that you feel like is possible to achieve on a lower budget or without that Hollywood support, from there through, you're sort of just building this, like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to get this to happen, but the story's in my head, I'm passionate enough about it. And so finding, like, oh, what can I tweak or what pieces fit, and I can build around those. I can build my script around maybe like a location that I know we have in town, or just all that sort of a thing. It becomes this very, like, ethereal dream building process for those first steps, because it's like you're asking for something that you just don't have. You don't have the help from the actors, you don't have a crew, and you know you can't really pay them, at least not up front. And so you go around just trying to pull on strings and find, like, almost it's like the world has to start working with you a little bit and give you offer up on the plate, like, oh, this is your, here's your gaffer. You just met him, you met him, like, in line at a coffee shop today, but now you can make your film.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we actually met a group of people who moved to Oregon a handful of weeks before production. I mean, we did not know them from Adam nor Eve before they made it, you know, to Eugene, kind of a thing. And they reached out to Malachi because they saw some of his acting and they were really impressed. He's actually one of the actors in the movie as well. He plays one of our lead roles. And one of those people actually helped us build one of our most insane sets. He actually constructed a fully movable, so, like, it's built of a ton of unique individual pieces that all can refit together. And it's a cave. So it's like a cave that is now, like, built inside of a studio. And it was one of our most important sets, the hardest to find, the hardest to do practically, because you're literally underground with a bunch of lighting equipment and blood that you're spraying everywhere. No way. Like, who's going to let you do that? So this was like, we have no idea how to do this. We have no one in our lives who builds caves for a living. And then we meet this guy a handful of weeks before production. And he's like, of course. Yeah, sure. Let me at it. We didn't know if he could actually build a cave from scratch, but we trusted him. He seemed confident. And he just set off and really created just a magnificent set. I mean, I was stunned when I saw the results. So thank you, Michael Rucker.
he ended up saving us about $11,000 on what it would have costed to, like, order a pre-made cave set in a, like, professional filmmaking sort of sense. And instead he made it, cut it all out of foam and, like, painted it himself.
Wow.
It's got because this, I was gonna say, we've skipped so far, we haven't actually mentioned what the film is. sorry, that was my fault. I'm all right.
So we get a little excited. No, but our film is called Bampire, and it is a amalgamation of, if you imagine, Bampy and Vampire brought together. Basically, the concept, so we live in Eugene, Oregon, on the west coast of the U.S., and there's a ton of deer around here, just everywhere. We have, like, lots of wildlife and lots of forests, but the deer will just pop up in the road. Almost like every other day you'll see a deer, and sometimes they'll just stare you down, like, in honestly the most intimidating way of, like, no, hit me, I dare you. And so we came up with this concept of, like, well, what if vampires are shapeshifters that can turn into bats, fanged bats, but also what if they could turn into fanged deer? And there is truly a species of deer that have fangs rather than horns. They're called musk deer. Crazy. And so we realized, oh, these are real. Let's write a whole script around them. But they live traditionally in, like, China and Russia, and not over here in Oregon. So we wrote this concept of, like, okay, what if they had discovered evidence, like, of musk deer in this area, and they go out to try a group of community college students driven by their over enthusiastic biology teacher. They all go out into the woods just to try and explore these, like, cave paintings that have been found of musk deer.
But it's not musk.
Fantastic. I mean, it's a great concept. As soon as I saw the trailer, what I loved about the trailer is that it doesn't give too much away. We were discussing just before before you guys joined us, we were saying how much we love the trailer. Like, it looks incredible. It looks absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
And again, it's that it leaves enough ambiguity for you to be like, it draws you in, but doesn't just give you the money shots of the film in the first 5 minutes. And then just, you know, when you watch it, you know, there's nothing worse than a trailer, which is ultimately just the best scenes of the film. And then you just watch the trailer with extra bits in. That drives us nuts.
Me too. I don't watch trailers anymore for that reason.
Yeah. And it's been a hard thing to balance because we captured such cool, pretty effect, like gore effects, and we have, like, some practical creature transformations in the film that we want to show so badly. Like, it's one of the things we're most excited about. We're huge horror fans, and we set out just trying to find, like, all of the best way to elevate some of these practical effects. And so now that we've achieved them, it's like, of course we want to show you guys our monster in full makeup, but then you'll know who it is. And then we've been really careful.
It's that horrible balance, isn't it? Where it's like, when you're so, especially because, I mean, that's the great thing is with a lot of independent film, you're so excited about it. And you're so into it that it's like, no, we want to show you. No, seriously, we want to show you this bit. And then, but it's like, no, I've got to back off here. Cause, like you say, this, you can't just sort of, like, just immediately give everything away and sort of, you know, it's got to be there. So it's the part. Cause that, I mean, I've always thought that's the thing when you watch sort of trailers, like, say, for example, like American Werewolf, they didn't go too detailed into what is the bit that everyone talks about when they've seen the film.
Right.
And it's trusting to that sort of thing of, no, when they see this, they are going to be blown away. And
American Werewolf in London was one of our, like, initial dreams. Like, really, if we could have a transformation sequence that is even an echo of this greatness, then we have, you know, we'll have something to talk about. And our director, Taylor Morden, he was on board with that vision from the get-go. I mean, our group love of the 80s and the 90s nostalgia of practical effects, of some of the staples of the movies that came out during those times. Like, we have this VHS camera. I don't know if you can see it back there, but it's totally wrecked. So we actually used this not just as a prop. We had an identical camera that we actually filmed found footage on. So we're using real, like, VHS found footage in the movie itself, that our director, who is, like, raised, born, you know, grew up in the 90s, is still, like, a big nostalgia fan. He actually was the guy, like, operating the camera. And I mean, he grew up, like, in high school using one of these. So it really just reads like a pro in his element. Getting to do something that he's been excited about and wanting to do for a while. And that's, like, the VHS found footage is what it is, but that goes for every single one of his shots. Mm. I've never seen a man work a camera the way that guy does.
Yeah, because I was looking into what he's done, because he's done a lot of short films, but most of his features have been documentary. But there was, for example, one of them was the last Blockbuster, about the Blockbuster video store. So you know where that sort of where he's coming from, and like a lot of them, and like music documentaries about the 90s and things like that. So you know that that's where, you know, that's where he's coming from. That's where his sort of interests lie and stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's, so when you guys, so was it originally, it started with you guys and then he came on board, and then and gradually, a lot of the time, a lot of indie filmmaking always seems like a cult almost, where it's like, one person's got a vision and you just have to draw so many people in, and they do have to give up a lot. Help and bring that about and everything, and manifest the whole thing. So it's, it kind of feels like that. But so it started, so it started originally from you guys. It was your sort of like script, and was where it sort of the initial spark came from, was yourselves.
Yes. So Zoe and I sat down with that concept of like, these deer could be vampires. Like, they want to make us crash so they can drink our blood. And then we wrote that into just a really exciting, youthful, also just really grounded and realistic sort of script. And brought it to Taylor, because he had just moved to town, and we had seen his portfolio and kind of that just amazing like sense of like flavor that he brings to all of his projects, and kind of youthfulness, and his ability to just inspire and make contacts with people. Like, initially we brought the script to Taylor, and the first person we reached out to is, we emailed Rick Baker, who does the werewolf transformations. It just, as a dream, like, no way we're gonna get Rick Baker, but but that's how we approached this whole film. And Taylor really came in with that sense of, like, that attitude of like, well, we might as well ask, like, they might want to help us. It's, you don't know until you try. And through that attitude, he's been able to bring in just some amazing people to our film, which we would have made either way. We would have made it with no famous actors, with nothing, just with our friends in our backyard if we had to. But so we wrote this great script that had all those elements. And then we found Taylor, who had that kind of mind and that skill set for bringing more and more people together. And he was able to find a lot of amazing people. He got Diane Franklin, who is the princess in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah.
She came in for a role, and one of the sweetest people I've ever met. Absolutely amazing. So talented. She does a French accent in our film. And it's like, the vigor she approaches that with, like, the image she brings out, is incredible. And then we also went on to get Greg Sestero from The Room. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
We were in contact with him for like half of a year, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm interested for sure. This is awesome." And so Taylor just kept talking to him about it, and by the end, Greg actually came in and acts in our film. And he did it for free. He did it as a volunteer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just to support indie filmmaking.
Yeah, just because his relationship with Taylor and with our script and with trying to schedule with us and seeing how much we were just giving it all we could. He's like, "You know what, guys? You paid for my flight, and that's all you need. That's all I need."
Wow.
That's incredible. It's fantastic to see people. But it must be nice for you guys to have had this, as you say, this initial crazy idea in the car. And then you kind of knock up a script and think, we'll get some friends in, maybe we'll make a short. And then before you know it, you've got people who who have come all this way, and who you watched on screen as when you were younger, and like,
seriously,
have them excited by your idea. It must be really reassuring to know that it's not just some crazy idea that no one's going to be on board with. Like, you've just managed very easily to sell it to a whole group of people you really aspire to be part with. So
it feels like a real accomplishment just to have had the amount of energy and excitement and love I mean, there's no better word for it. It's love. You know, every single person who joined this project did it because they love filmmaking, because they love the story, because they love their craft, because they loved us, you know, in some cases. I mean, it really was an act of love and dedication toward this project that got it to where it is right now. And honestly, like, you know, I can't sing Taylor's praises enough because he really was just such a huge part of this. And I met Taylor while he was working on a project that was called Space Beavers 2. Not one. Two. And it had practical... Yeah, I know. He was like, he had found this archive of footage from the 90s and 80s of these kids who had essentially tried to make this movie about beavers in space. And they had done it in the style of the original Star Wars with like miniatures, you know, flying through just darkness, right? And like practical beaver costumes in astronaut suits. And when I, like, when he told me about that idea, we had already had these Dear Our Vampire conversation, and at that moment I was like, this is our guy, he'd do it. No, he'd do it. But then I learned later that Taylor, when he saw my reaction to Space Beavers 2, thought, okay, this chick's real. Yeah, he's gonna help me do something like pretty cool too. So like, I think the love of, you know, the art form, but the specifically like nostalgic and, you know, these things that we've watched growing up, but we've never gotten the opportunity to do. Most filmmakers don't get the opportunity to do one of the things that we pull off in this movie. But we've managed to create this piece strictly by adapting when there were problems, solving everything that came into our path as quickly as we can. We were able to actually bring in some really exciting elements to this piece that we didn't even plan to have to begin with. But now we couldn't imagine our movie without them.
Yeah, like one of the coolest elements in Vampire is that we've chosen to animate certain things, always on top of practical. So a world where you have your real life actors, but then maybe like a feral deer jumps out of a bush and scares them. And for that moment, it's this animated deer. And it wasn't originally in our concept. We thought we'd go practical. We even thought we'd go more like silly, obviously fake, sort of like Monty Python-esque practical.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it went. We were really open to adapting and trying to use all the resources we could find as well as possible. We ended up meeting and getting connected with just an incredible makeup and practical effects artist named Trista Kelly. And she is just a total up-and-comer, works out of Portland, Oregon right now a ton. But she was able to elevate a lot of our transformations into like, okay, we're really going to do this. We're going to have multiple steps where it looks like the horn's coming out a different amount and we're going to shoot it all. And we're not just going to throw an animated horn on this head. So we adapted like, okay, we'll animate some things due to safety and due to the fact that we don't have the budget. And also due to that just amazing kind of Who Framed Roger Rabbit flavor that we thought hasn't been shown in a movie in a while and could really fit into this horror genre. So we just said yes to all of that. And I think I'm really proud of us because we didn't stay too hard to any one aspect. We found what could shine in any moment, what could shine the brightest is what we chose. And it just led to this really interesting amalgamation film where we have, there's like one of the characters brings a VHS and is filming stuff. And so we cut to you seeing what is actually filmed through his VHS. And that's all, like Zoe said, practically, literally recorded on tape before we digitalize it. And then we have animated sections over everything and then real practical stuff. And it turned into something that was so, so unique and almost so like specialized and diverse that it was, I don't know that we could have set out to make it as a plan, but the fact that we were able to incorporate those elements when they popped out as options for us just really gave us the biggest ability to achieve as many of these things as possible, because we set out, Zoe wrote us the incredible script, which really I feel is like step one and what got a lot of interest here, but we're a small group and we didn't have a lot of funding. We didn't have a lot of, you know, like we said, like our initial concept was, hey, we'll do it in the backyard with our best friends if we have to. And then from there, we just made all these cool little connections where we got it to add a little bit of value, a little bit of value. And before we know it, we got Greg Sestero showing up for free, and we ended up putting a bunch of all of our own savings into the film. And that's like the only budget we got. So a very humble initial starting budget. And then a lot of people who are willing to sign on just for potential payment and stuff like that. So I know I'm rambling, but it's like every step of the way, it just grew a little bit, a little bit, a little bit into something that now has had so much love poured into it. And it's just humbling and like, just truly amazing. Like if everybody is passionate about one thing and nobody is in it just for themselves.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah. It like a culty sense of like, we're doing this because we love it. And
all hail vampire. Like,
it's incredible what you can do, and incredible how much work people put into this film for very little personal gain. And we just want to pay them all so much. It's like,
it's got to be said, you're saying, you know, it was done on a low budget and is entirely independent and stuff. But Adam and I were discussing from the trailer, it looks incredible. Like, it looks fantastic. It really does look, head and shoulders above what I was expecting, you know, from a lower budget. You know, as you say, just pulling a team together and getting friends involved and stuff. Oh, and it just looks magnificent. So,
thank you.
Yes.
It really does, guys. It's just, we were stunned that it, because it looks... It looks like the love is showing there and the talent is showing there, but also it looks like this had, you know, a lot of money poured into it and a lot of, and you know, the fact that you guys did that, did it in 3 weeks and stuff like that, it really does look terrific. You know, it's like, and like you say, it's that whole thing of, you've just managed to be like sort of draw so many people into the orbit of it, all of whom are just contributing their parts or their multiple parts, like you say, because you're doubling up both as an actor and the writer. And it's sort of, you know, there's a lot of people wearing multiple hats on it and stuff like that. But yeah, I think certainly from the footage we've seen, I mean, it looks $1 million, you know, it's really, really good. And, you know, I was going to say it doesn't have that sort of thing sometimes where there'll be some sort of drop off on an independent film in some way or another. It might be, you know, it might be like the sound wasn't there, or it might be that the effects weren't there, or something like that. You know, and it's just, but yeah, overall, what we've seen looks incredible. You know, it does really sort of.
It's certainly
excited us for it. You know, we really can't wait to see this.
This project, like our practical effects artist Trista Kelly said it more than once on set, and I think it's just a beautiful way of saying it. You can put a decapitated neck wound on somebody. You can take off their arm, you know, and have it be fake. You can spray blood as much as you want, but if you don't have someone underneath that prosthetic selling that blood spray, if you don't have someone behind that camera capturing that frame to be magnificent and stunning and full of depth, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how great that effect is. It doesn't matter. Any piece of it could fall apart, but none of it did for us. And by every right, it should have. I mean, and I don't say that lightly. We had 100 challenges that we overcame, one a day. I mean, one show-stopping challenge per day is what I would say for this project.
One day it was bees.
Like millions of wasps.
Thousands of wasps, literally.
Like we had accidentally cooked meat over a fireplace and left, I guess, a chunk of meat in the campfire. And the next day we show up to film and we're supposed to be at this set all day. We've got, you know, 3 weeks, right? 21 days. One of those days is at this set and it's full of bees. Million bees. Wow. I mean, I've never seen so many bees. And we've got two people who are allergic. Our director is literally like paralyzingly terrified of bees. And he overcame that as well as 100 other challenges that only he knew about, you know? Really, like the testament to this piece could be said by any one of the 28 people who were there, because every single one of them was a champion mm-hmm. for this project. Every single one of them fought a million bees, you know? mm-hmm. But yeah, it's definitely had its own sense of gravity. Like, people have been pulled, like you said, into the orbit of this project. And until each one of those pieces came into play, there wasn't a project. Even for us, you know, having Taylor show up and say, I'm working on Space Beavers too. Well, heck, we hadn't even started writing the screenplay. And there he was, mm-hmm. the guy who was supposed to direct it. And, you know, it's just one of those moments where you got to listen to those signs. You know, the second that you're given mm-hmm. that opportunity, like, you better kick that door down, because, like, it might shut again in a moment if you're not careful. And we just took advantage at every time that we could of someone who was we didn't take advantage of people every chance we could, but we took advantage of the love that people were willingly giving us. Like, they were really just excited and essentially said, hey, if it means that we get to make Vampire, don't pay me till we can make some money off Vampire, then pay me with that. I'll take some of that money. But if it means that we get to make this movie right now with these people, then yeah, I'm in. Sign me up. That was their everyone's energy from the get-go. No matter how much we offered to pay them, they were had this attitude of, no, please put it toward the movie. Incredible.
That's incredible, isn't it? It's, and that's the beauty of indie filmmaking, you know, from what I've seen, is that it is a project of love for everyone involved. Because mm-hmm. it does always seem a bit of a house of cards. As you say, every day you turn up, you're like, right, what's going to go wrong today? What is going to threaten the entire project this time next week? And it's and it must be a matter of troubleshooting all the time. But if you've got a core group and you're all as dedicated as one another, and as you say, you haven't got anyone who's just showing up for a paycheck or whatever, then it's amazing what you can get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes that much love. And if any single person is willing to say, oh, that's okay, let's move on, and just treat it like that casually or without that much perfectionism, it's gonna show. And so, yeah, putting together, I mean, it's, none of it happens on accident. Like, we took this huge leap, but we've been making short films in the same community for 5 to 10 years, you know, and just meeting people and seeing everyone's skill set and how to empower each other. I mean, I think that's the key word to focus on. If you want a group of people who are all passionate and encouraged and willing to speak up, you need a group of people who all feel empowered and feel like, we're making something great and I can make it a little better. And there's not a sense of ego. If I have an idea that can make it better, people are going to love me for that. No one's going to feel mad at me for taking the spotlight or any of that. It's that sense of like, empowerment and just appreciation is in the workplace in general, that gets lost really quick sometimes. But if you are able if you pour the love back into the people who are working and giving themselves to your project, it's it definitely will pay off. That's one thing that we learned for sure, is like everybody on set of like probably 30 people all became best friends and just like at the end, we all held hands and talked. We said stories and we sang a little Kumbaya. And it was the most hippie thing I've ever participated in. And we're from Eugene, Oregon, which is like, it's hippie central over here. It's like sage and everywhere, flowers in the hair. So, but that passion, that love, and that empowerment where everyone is like, no, I'm going to make the lighting a little bit better, even though I might not be getting a lighting credit. Or like, you do it every way you can. You do it by saying, hey, I'll give you a lighting credit. You know, you'll do it by just thanking them every time you see their face in the morning. But that also, we took such a leap on this. And another one of the takeaways is, don't make a film in 3 weeks. We got so lucky.
It was a miracle.
We got like, so lucky.
There are only so many times that I would use that word, but this project was miraculous. Yeah. And I know that we've talked about 18 different elements that we've got involved in the film and how excited we are about every single one of them. But that's what no sacrifices looks like. That's taking a piece that by every right, we should not have been able to make at this budget level. And we didn't miss a scene. we have stunts taking place in moving vehicles in the original screenplay. Well, now we have more intense stunts taking place in a moving vehicle, but it's cartoon. So no one's getting hurt. You know, it's like there was no way we were going to have someone hanging half out of the window being pulled on a trailer with eight people strapped to the hood of the car, all with gear strapped onto them. Heck no. We're like, we're not there. We're doing this, like we said, with people that we love. No way would we risk them in that way. No way. Mm. That's where the conversation stopped when it came to our practical stunts, because it was never going to be worth risking hurting somebody. So everything that we've done was not just for the love of the piece, although the story was our top priority. For the love of the people, it was taking our human resource that we had, treating them as respectfully as possible. And if they were saying, hey, we can't do this, you know, there's no way we can do this amount in this much time. Okay, we're not going to do that amount then. We're going to do this much in this much time, and everything that we execute, we're going to execute perfectly. Everything else, we will figure out a way to do it, but it might not be the way that we set out to do it. And like that level of adaptation had to come from every member of our team. Every member.
It is something we see a lot in independent film. Adam and I have discussed it ad nauseum on the show, how when you've got an indie film and you can see for budgetary restraints or whatever, you have to adapt and change. And sometimes those things can end up being the key things that you love the most. Like you say, with the idea of bringing in the animation. Okay, we can't actually do this. Let's animate it. Let's do that. And it ends up going from what could be a negative of, oh, we can't really afford it, it's going to look shonky, or it's not going to... And all of a sudden you elevate it by thinking around the corner and coming up with a whole new way of doing it. And all of a sudden it's an extra spark and it goes in the plus column.
It suddenly becomes someone's favourite part of the film, and it's something that is an adaptation of due to time, budget, you know, capability or whatever like that. And also it's just great to hear that level, like you say, about being responsible to everyone, because that's why everyone wants to show up. Because quite frankly, there are, as we've seen recently, there's a lot of bigger budget movies that aren't doing that. You know, there's a lot of heartache out there about how people are, you know, treated on set, and how you know, corners are cut and things like that. And it's just, you know, at the end of the day, like you say, you're making a film. You know, it's not like heart surgery or bomb disposal or something. You know, it's like, we're making a film. We're not going to, you know,
we're not going to hurt someone
or get someone, you know, injured in for the sake of a film. You know, it's but again, it makes it, it brings everyone together, but also it just means that you find these ways round that quite often are just so much, you know, they become the parts that people remember. They become the parts that people go, that was unique, I haven't seen that before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a real sort of, it can become a selling point. You know, it's just great. You know, it's a fantastic sort of scenario. And like you say, it's having to be adaptive. It's having to bend with how things go.
You know, I think, at least as an artist, I feel really passionately that acceptance is like that is the key source of like growth and beauty and ownership of who you are and love for things. So just that sense of like, yes, we will show those vulnerabilities in a way that we love, and other people will be able to love them too, instead of maybe covering up those parts and hoping people don't notice. I think that's the opposite of acceptance. And so in these moments where we said like, yes, we can't afford to, we accept that we're not going to have an actor ripped out of a truck while it's moving. But if we animate it, we can have him ripped in half and his legs can stay in the bottom of the truck. It's such a weird way to say it. Like, acceptance can be usually turned towards the self in such a beautiful way. But when you turn it towards the film or towards your art too, it just allows unique things to shine. And that's beautiful. And so I think historically and culturally, sometimes we snuff out the unique things, or we try to cover them up because they're risky. We might be judged for them, but yeah, let the uniqueness shine. It's worth it. And you wouldn't get a film like Vampire if you didn't just have that attitude of like, that sort of yes and, or that like, oh, it hasn't been done before, but I could see it working. I could find love for it, even if I don't know. Who cares if anyone else does?
Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely.
Gosh, I do. I want to say, like, we had this almost like miracle level of success in this thing that we set out to do and kept saying yes to. But one of the things we had to say yes to was, let's try to shoot this in 2.5 weeks because our budget isn't there. And we flew like 4 or 5 out of state actors in during those weeks. It was an intensive, very high stress 2 or 3 weeks, like oftentimes 16 plus hour day. I mean, like oftentimes like 16 hours on set. And then for us as producers and me as an actor producer, that's on set for 16 hours, come home, prep for tomorrow, try to put a social media post out. And then you get to like eating and sleeping maybe for 4 hours before you're back. And no joke, that was our schedule for 2.5 weeks. And that was what it took to put everything we could, all of the money we could into the film and not have to worry about different segments or, you know, all of that. It was what was needed. But
man,
it's the next film. Hopefully we don't have to say yes to something.
I was just about to say, I'm getting tired and need some downtime, but equally I can see that you're both still buzzing from the production.
Yeah.
So are you already thinking of new thoughts and writing some ideas down and possibly... Yeah.
I've been thinking Vampire 2. Vampire 2, there's so much love for Vampire, and there's so many open-ended story elements, especially if you think like in the prequel sense and the aftermath of Vampire sense. So I've been thinking a lot about what kind of stuff we can come up with to build off of Vampire specifically. Zoe is just a prolific writer in general. This is her first feature that she's written and that will be produced, but she's got a whole bag full of other features, and they're all just really unique. And so she's been putting a lot of work into that. But right now the real truth is all we can really focus on is Vampire still. It's been trying to build a marketing campaign and we're not finished. As much as we sound like we've finished it and we're so excited that it went well, we have so much work.
We still have a lot of work. Yeah. It's like post-production is 50% of a project. So we've done 50%. We still have about half to go in terms of taking all of that and cobbling it into an amazing film, putting in the animation, putting in the music, you know, finishing our fundraising, like we're going to run this Indiegogo campaign for. Absolutely. But one thing that I really want to make clear is that we're doing this because we believe in independent film.
Yeah.
I completely see the value in major studios. Who wouldn't, right? It's kind of, you can't ignore the value of working with a major studio. And I also see the value in working with a union, you know, and figuring out how to make that something that really does benefit your career. But there are a lot of talented artists out there who can apply for a union and not get into it, and who can wish to work with a major studio but may never even get the opportunity. And what other avenue is there for those million? I mean, I'm talking like a large handful of artists who those are just not pathways towards success. This is that pathway for so many artists out there. This is the way that they can hope to make their dream come true, is through independent filmmaking, through uncensored filmmaking. And as a writer who specializes, if you will, in uncensored film writing, I personally believe it's one of the only ways to keep the art out there pure. And by that, I mean something that's coming from the heart, not coming out of a wallet and back into a wallet. Not that. Something better than that. Something that people choose to do because they love it, because they believe in it, because they think it's going to be impactful artwork. I mean, and that's something I don't see coming out of a lot of these other pathways. Does it happen? Sure. But would I love to see 800 times more? Yeah. Like, of course, who wouldn't? It's good art. So if this is the way that I get to make my artwork, and if I get to make it with these people, then this is the path that I would choose again and again, no matter that dollar sign. And even though we say, yeah, I hope we don't have to do that again, it's like, what I do know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that no matter how well Vampire does, we're going to be back out there making another movie. So, woo-hoo! You know, Path Films and Pop Motion Productions is not done yet.
Yeah, it's the best experience of my life, personally, because it brought a community together where we all were so passionate and so supportive of each other. And there's just, that's, I think, just the peak of human experience is being so lucky to be appreciated and useful to like 20 people. I'm such like a hermit. I'm used to like only talking to my friends and my family, but 20 people all said thank you to me. It was like
I know I had someone say they've never been hugged this much on a film set, and I just love that, you know. Not to just resonate on what people have said, but the man who built our cave, Michael Rucker, he said something that was really passionate and subtle in his way that he is, where he said, you know, if people kept doing what we're doing out here, and if this project goes as well as I think it could, then we could really turn the tides. And coming from someone like him, that's incredibly meaningful. And I think it's really true for the industry nowadays. We need good examples. You know, we can't have indie films out there hurting people, underpaying people, and then ultimately not turning out a good product. It's just not, it's not worth it. You might have to choose, like I said, not paying people to make it like work, because then they're all showing up just for the love of it. It's not ideal, but at least it made a piece of artwork that no one's getting hurt for, that is going to be good. And ultimately the people will get paid for. So it's one of those things where you just don't get a lot of good examples in independent filmmaking right now. We've both been subjected to some pretty crazy stuff on the film sets that we were on before Vampire. And it was a really big part of our experience to make sure that everyone on set was safe to be around, that everyone felt like they could ask for things and were comfortable. I mean, these were the most important objectives going in, even despite knowing what we were going to do was absolutely insane. So, it really did take precedent for us, though, to keep people safe, you know, and to keep them feeling respected. And I think that is why it went as well as it did. Bottom line is because we went into it caring about the human element, which is something that's missing from those two pathways for sure, but independent film as a freaking third, you know. You need some folks to come in and say this is what it could be.
Absolutely. And I think also you've got that, it's the, like you say, it's about bringing an artistic vision with no one interfering, where the interference is the restrictions of budget, the restrictions of what, you know, who you've got in your team or whatever like that. But it's not the restrictions of, oh, can you not do that because that doesn't play well? Or can you not do that because we're not those films, we don't do them. You know, we don't look, no one watches Cows in Space films this year, you know, or whatever. And it's sort of, you know, it's remaining true to that vision in the sense of you do with it what you can, but it's not a team of people telling you don't do this, don't do that, this is not the way it's done. And indeed, you know, sort of like, or if you cut that corner we can get this done quicker, but you know, you then end up with someone who doesn't want to work with you ever again. Because something went wrong, or something wasn't, you know, someone wasn't treated correctly or whatever like that. You know, there's something to be said for having that sort of thing of having like a rep company where you can sit, you sit, see it where it's like, you know, there are directors and who have a group of people who are happy to always go back and work with them because, you know, they've had a good experience. And, you know, it's not just, oh, we did that film and it was successful. It's clearly because, oh, actually, I had a good time whilst doing this.
Yeah, you know. I've gotten messages from every single one of our cast members at this point just saying, I can't wait till we're back on set together making Vampire 2. And I'm like, please, let me get out Vampire 1. This guy always planning over here. But it's true. I mean, to have 28 people tell you that this was one of the best experiences they've had in their life, it's humbling.
It's meaningful, and it's not something that happens on accident from the very beginning. I mean, we made our company Path Films last year, and with the goal of, we want to bring paid work to Eugene, Oregon, because we think that paid work is kind of the only way to elevate the quality to the point where we think these indie projects could start becoming profitable and just continue to build a community around that. So we want to bring paid work. But all that means nothing if people don't want to work with us twice. And that that's the real essence of what we are about, just as a company. Even we think it's the best way to be as a company, to have that legitimate, sort of upstanding, honest, generous attitude toward the people we work with. Because if we're good business people, we can still make money, we can calculate, we can be generous and yet still calculate, right? Still make the amount of profits needed to make another film. Mm-hmm. And everybody will be all the more excited while they're working if they're being valued properly. And they'll be all excited to come back again next time too. And so somehow, even with like a shoestring budget and with most of the people to this day still not having been paid, we captured just that essence. And I think it's because it's not on accident. It's because we set out saying this is our goal. We've seen a lot of independent sort of like amateur films get made. And a lot of the time it's just one person's idea. One person has enough respect to bring a group of people together around their one idea. But a lot of times it can become sort of hostile and not turn out into a positive experience. And we just really wanted to find a way to do it in a grounded, holistic way that we could, even if Vampire isn't what our dreams were for it, people would want to work with us again. And then if what we really see as our vision for Vampire happens, I mean, all of a sudden it's a real world changer for
everyone involved.
It's just everyone, and for our whole community. I mean, nothing like this has been made in Eugene for a very long time. The film Animal House was made here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Our claim to fame.
since then, there's been nothing in Eugene, and it's like a 2-3 hour flight to LA from here. It's like we're not that far from a lot of talented people. I mean, the people in our community for sure, but the people just up 2 hours drive north in Portland, Oregon, that's a pretty big hub. And Seattle is up further from that. Lots of people on the Pacific Northwest that are good at making film. And so yeah, we just wanted to build that little section where, you know, we care enough to get a good product, and we care enough to also treat people right.
No matter what, as the first priority, you know, and that will, like, I think it's a key part of our beliefs that will turn out a good product. Yeah, that empowerment has been key.
It is. And as you say, if everyone's happy and everyone's being treated well, it comes across on screen. People will give you 100%. You know, it's a small group, isn't it, ultimately? So if you end up in a hostile environment, you only need a couple of people who are really pissed off. And then every day is, we've got to deal with this. And then there's going to be. Yeah. So you really do need to, as you say, for people's well-being as much as for what you end up with on screen.
It's important to just to remember that it's not easy or relaxed. It's 16 hour days. We filmed mostly outside. Carrying just the heaviest of lights, and three people carry them, set them up. The director comes by. Oh shoot, that's not going to actually work. Carry them over there. Yeah. Carry them over there. Carry them over there. Like, eventually, anyone's going to be like, I fucking carried them. Why couldn't you tell me? Why'd I have to carry them to that middle place? Fuck you.
But then they see that last frame, and they're like, I'd carry them a mile, man. If that's what we get out of it.
Exactly. So, but tensions get high, and that's why these things we're talking about are so important. Because it's not like no one's going to ever get frustrated. People are probably going to get frustrated with each other every day, and feeling empowered enough to say like, oh, that wasn't my best me, and I'll be forgiven. And people do see how hard, people appreciate how hard I'm trying, that they'll understand, oh, I messed up a little, I got an attitude, but I've been thanked for my effort so much that I know it's okay to, oh, that's just a little miss up, I'm still appreciated. And just those things were paramount, because there's some days I know that like more than half of our cast and crew were in a bad mood. Like, in moments, there were some tough times that we all got through as well.
Yeah.
Well, it's such an intense workload, like you say. I mean, like, for everyone, and it's such a, you know, it can be like a real sort of powder keg of sort of like, you know, frustration and everything else like that. But at the end of that, if you've also got people you know, people feeling, you know, you're frustrated with the fact, yeah, I've carried this light here, there and everywhere, and I'm pissed off with it. But if you're also pissed off with that guy and pissed off with what's happening and everything else like that, that is a far worse situation, you know, and you can come through it if everyone's on the same page. But yeah, it's because you need that in that sort of intensity. You can't have a disharmonious thing in that process because it's just too much at that point. You know?
Yeah, we were like, our cast and crew were so resilient. I mean, day in, day out, right? And like you're saying, it already you can see the powder keg, as you put it. It's the perfect way of putting it. Because no matter, even if you have no external challenges, you're still trying to do something insane. You're trying to tell a story, but you're trying to tell it one frame at a time out of order. So it's, you know, you don't get to just go from A to Z and, okay, this leads into that, this leads in. No, it is emotionally demanding for every single person. It is difficult to organize. It's difficult to plan. It's difficult to do those things efficiently. But that being said, like every single person showing up and being able to handle that internal struggle is how we continued moving through day by day. And being able to support each other with those internal struggles is how we made it through the insane amount of external challenges that we all faced. Like, that was the real beauty of Vampire. Like, when I talk about the 100 challenges, a lot of those are not even coming from within our cast and crew. They're things that were external from us. They were issues with locations, issues with tech, issues with, you know, someone literally getting sick and not being able to show up. So in that case, it is like cast or crew, but it's not their fault. You know, it's stuff that you really can't plan for. And that is the stuff that comes in when you're in the middle of that intense environment with so many different moving parts. And the fact that our little crew were not only able to give each other hugs, words of encouragement, to support each other, you know, through all of the emotions and tensions and exhaustion that sets in for every single person when you're working that hard for that long, we were also able to band together, you know, as a as a real team. And no matter what came at us from this outside sphere, we protected Vampire from it, you know. And that was like a real, to me, that was a real success, because we would have people problem solving, you know, when they're supposed to be moving a light, because that's what we hired them to do. But they're out there talking to, you know, somebody trying to help us out with some other problem. And only because they were like, this light can wait, but this problem can't, we actually didn't even have to face that problem, you know, as a group. It wasn't even a source of stress for everybody, because one person went out of their way in that moment to handle it. Didn't even wait to go grab a leader, just became one. And that, I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that. Suddenly you've got 28 leaders, each able to give a good recommendation, a good suggestion. You take the onus off having one, two, three people having to know everything, and you put it onto everyone taking that responsibility. Maybe isn't the most ideal way to run a bigger set than ours. Not saying that would be like, I wouldn't want everyone to have to always have four jobs whenever they work for PAF Films, but it was the reason that we were successful on this project. Absolutely.
Fantastic. So mentioning the Indiegogo, so am I correct that you are launching that shortly, and that is going to be for your post-production costs? Is that correct?
Yes, we are launching our Indiegogo on March 4th. Right now we have a pre-launch page where anyone can enter their email and just join the mailing list to receive an email when we do launch. But March 4th, we'll launch our campaign, and we have... we've got about 3/4 of our budget that we have not collected yet that still needs to be spent on the making of Vampire before it'll be able to be released. So there's a ton of people who need to get paid, a ton of jobs left to do. Like, we need to get a professional sound mix and a color grade. We need to pay our animator. We need to hopefully be able to acquire the rights to some really banging 90s tunes that are just like really nostalgic and bring you back to that era, and a few more things left to shoot, like some reshoots and just pickups, I guess, more so than reshoots.
Pickups.
But yeah, we have a bunch of money still to raise if we're gonna be able to actually get the film released, and we have so much good footage to show that we just we need it to all be put together at the highest level at this point, because if that's what happens, I've got really high hopes that Vampire will make a will someday have like a really wide release and actually, you know, be a household name. Even it's turned out so well that that's where my dreams have turned to. And so it's all about just giving it the biggest potential possible to shine and look as professional and just amazing as we know it could.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, we will do everything we can to obviously get that out there. And I mean, anybody listening, I think we've already shown our cards at this point. Yeah, we're 100% behind this. And
oh my god,
we get to see it the better, really.
It's so cool just to connect with some people across the seas, and just we really genuinely appreciate you guys' interest in this crazy little movie we made. And I'll come, yeah, I would love to come talk about it, you know, every week till the end of time. You're part of the Vampire family now, and I really appreciate y'all.
We are very, very excited. So we'll definitely be, you know, from our point of view, what little we can do with our humble podcast, we will be putting it out there so that we can hopefully get, you know, get this all together so that you guys can get your vision out there. And just generally just talking to you guys deserve to win, so we want to back it in that sense. Do you know what I mean? You know,
hey, thanks.
You're good people, so you know, we want it to be out there. We want that to be the success story, you know.
We genuinely love what we're doing. You know, I think probably we would both be in asylums by now if we didn't. but for real, you know, it's like people like you, you might call it a humble podcast, but for us, it's another group of people who are looking to support something that is really just the most meaningful thing to us in the world, you know? And so for us, it's $1 million. It's, you know, mm-hmm. it's tickets to the premiere, you know, if we had one, like, please, I would love to see you guys there. And I just can't wait to show the world what we've done, because this money coming in from the Indiegogo campaign could really, really speed up our timeline. But Vampire is getting out to the world no matter what, no matter how long it takes. We're going to make sure this thing sees the light of day. It's just how soon. And that's really a big part of it. And for us, like, the sooner the better. We just put everybody through this intense project, and we want to make sure that we can show, you know, their friends and family that what they did was like really, really worth it, you know? So for us, like, the Indiegogo campaign is just going to be that last piece of the puzzle that's going to really help us stitch this thing together in such a way that it makes it, I mean, marketable is a good word for it, but also just, like he said, something that everybody wants to watch, you know, like that's the goal. Because
we don't want me doing the color grade, and that will happen.
But yeah, vampiremovie.com, www.vampiremovie.com. That'll get you right to our Indiegogo pre-launch page. Input your email. We ship worldwide for all of our perks. So ultimately, you know, if anyone wants some merch, we'll get it to you. Like,
who wouldn't want a t-shirt with that logo on? Let's be honest. I mean, I see you've got your beanie on, you've got your snapback up there as well with the logo on. Like, it's all, it, and that was the thing when you sort of you messaged originally, just the image and the name of the film. I was like, yep, I'm in. Go any further than that, I'm 100% on with this. I can't see how it can fail. As you say, it's just getting enough people to hear it
we believe in the quality of it, and we've done a lot of work. Like, it was originally called Deer Pyre, Taylor Morden with his brilliant mind came in and was like, no, Vampire, Bambi, I mean, come on. But yeah, just every little choice has been really we put our hearts and souls into trying to make it shine. And just hearing that, like, even that little thing of like, oh, I liked your logo. Feel it in my heart. I mean, it means the world to us, because we cared enough to hopefully make everything perfect.
The funny thing about this logo is that we sent our director, Taylor Morden, the screenplay. And I mean, this man's incredible. Within two emails, he created a graphic with this logo, and he was like, I'm in. Like, it was like, he was like, oh, well, you know, just let me know how you want me involved. And we were like, well, dude, we want you like pretty heavily involved. And then he sent us the graphic. He was like, here's the, like, here's the first image of Vampire. I'm in, let's meet, you know? And it was like, you know, so the fact that you're sitting here, like, that's the proof is in the pudding. From moment one, this thing has been really just reeking with it, inspiration from the people involved.
We stanky. But yeah, you guys mean the world to us, and any support as well, is we're coming from some really humble beginnings. So yeah, help us shine.
Awesome. Fantastic.
We will do our best. We will do our best. Thank one last thing I have got to ask, though, is I did spot in the cast list that the godfather of indie horror, Mr. Lloyd Cowboy, is in there as well.
How
did we miss
that? How did that happen?
Yeah, he's, I mean, I can't tell you how many DVD cases had that Troma logo and VHSs in my house. Like, when we heard that we were going to have the guy who was the brain behind Troma, you know, donate not only his time to do a little voiceover work for us, but also he let us use some of his old movie posters in like our fake film college classroom, which is, as you know, I mean, it's all public domain if you don't get someone donating. So that was huge. It really increased our production design.
We got Toxie up there, and like, it's just so cool. Every time that somebody big joins on it, it's like, you almost have to reevaluate the way you see the whole world. Like, you see the world as this infinitely big space. I don't know how I'll connect to any of it. And then all of a sudden, someone like Lloyd Kaufman is in your movie, and you're like, oh, I guess it's just an email. Sending of emails, you can actually connect to these people who are like just stars.
Taylor obviously is a huge engine for that too. I mean, like I said, like, this guy has been such a huge part of our project, and he's made such amazing connections in the industry through his documentary work. But a lot of people who know Taylor are not necessarily signing on because of how great his documentaries were. They're signing on because the man's an artist, and those short films are gorgeous and award-winning. So the fact that this is his first feature film, it's a privilege for us to have Taylor Morden's first feature film be with us. And the fact that all these people from his career who have decided to just come on and help him, to do him a favor, it's because he's an incredible artist. And I really, like, I know that people are going to know his name mostly from documentaries, but just wait, y'all. He's got some tricks that I haven't even seen yet. Like,
they'll just be the things listed as his pre-vampire work.
Yeah. BCB.
Yes. And honestly, absolutely, our whole cast too are just about to be famous. Like, every single one of them is so talented, and like, regardless of how soon Vampire gets shown to the public, the projects each of these people are gonna do, like the Paul Grant, Meredith Parra, Jacob Rail, Jeff Brosey, our whole cast,
Katie Gibbons.
I've never got to work with a single actor as talented, and we put this together, and it's like all six of them are
all stars.
Yeah, so just get hyped, get pumped. It's every part of the film turned out well. So
now it's just on us to stitch it together, and we do need some help. So you know, it's like, what we can do is promise that we wouldn't be asking for the aid if we didn't know it was going to be worth it. If we were sitting here with a mess, we wouldn't be asking for money to help turn it into a bigger mess. What we really want to do is take, honestly, an incredible archive of gorgeous footage and just put the wrapping paper on it and give it to you guys. Like, but people have no, like, if you think about how much it takes to create and distribute a movie, times it by five. I mean, filmmaking is the most expensive hobby that you could ever have. So ultimately, like, it isn't, for any independent filmmaker out there, it isn't a bad thing to need help. It's one of those things that if we want to make it in this industry, we are fighting people who are spending millions, not thousands, millions of dollars to make movies of the quality that we're making this one. And that's just reality. You could find a $1 million movie that looks half as good as Vampire. So, you know, if you really think about the scale that we're on right now, the fact that we've done this movie for well under $100,000, I'm talking like less than half of that, Wow. We have done something that you wouldn't. That's a budget from the 80s. That's the budget they had. That's a budget for a movie that they made 30 years ago at this level. And we're doing that now, you know? And so it's no small deal to really try to create a piece of artwork with this many moving parts and this many human elements. And if you need help, man, let's turn Indiegogo into the next independent film funding platform. You know, let's really take control and give people what they want, because they're saying, please show me. So like, that's our goal, is to give you guys something that you actually want to see, and to let you know that you can be a part of making this happen for artists. And it is difficult to do it without that aid. It is nearly impossible to break into this industry. And for us, you know, in America, it's one of our main exports, entertainment. So here, more than a lot of places in the world, we need more outlets. We need places that are not these massive film hubs, because we've seen what happens. We see how toxic and polluted they can become. And if we have any hope of maintaining that foothold, if we want other places in the world to even be able to compete with our market that we are developing here, we have to start funding independent platforms, no matter where they're based. This is the way. It's the only way outside of, like I said, a major film studio or a union, which is great, but they don't accept everybody. You know, there's 100 people out there. There's people on our project who couldn't get into a union. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane. So if we don't start somewhere, you know, as fans of the
just going to go to waste.
Exactly. There's no future in it for anyone else if we don't put the work in now. It really is already that saturated.
And film is a new enough medium for art that I think a lot of the best filmmakers have never made a film at this point still. Like, it's something that people get to grow up watching film now, or TV, or whatever you want to call it. At such, there's a level of access that is so high compared to the past. And also with the ability to start, you know, making your own films as soon as you have a smartphone, you could be a filmmaker from like age, what, like 8, 12 on. And I feel really passionately that like the art form is that young and deserves to be explored by everybody, to diversify what it is to make films, and to we've seen what it can be in a sense of like, we put a bunch of money and we glorify in this Hollywood way. But just like any other art form, like it'll continue to diversify no matter what, no matter that that's just inevitably what will happen. But supporting some of these newer voices and less privileged voices is the way I think we'll get more interesting content.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. As you say, it's not interfered with. And as you say, it hasn't got to go through studio channels when they start, oh, well, if you replace this character with a child, it'll hit a bigger audience. And if you take the gore out, we can drop the certificate. And it's making the art as you saw it, and not having to put it through a committee ultimately. So, yeah.
I want to see what the kids in your guys' city, and what the kids in like the middle America, I want to see what their vampire is. You know, I want to see what they make when they're given the opportunity to put that much love into something. Like, what inspires them? What is interesting to them? And that this is the way towards that, empowering stories like this and groups who put together, because it's not easy, and there's going to be a lot of failures. But it's, if you are a young filmmaker and you get enough just practice in and start to really acknowledge what is and isn't working on all the sets you go to, I mean, eventually you'll be able to put together a vampire. I've been doing this for maybe like 10 years, mostly as an actor. And every time I was ever on set, I was thinking, how could I make a film? How could I make my version? How could I fix some of these pitfalls? And so 10 years of that, and you're ready to go. You're ready to make something that actually looks good, and that you actually are excited to show your family. And it's like, just that is the struggle as an artist, that is the struggle. You're making stuff, no one cares. You're making stuff, even you don't like it, but you have this vision of, oh, if I could just. And that's just so what indie filmmaking is about right now. And it's something I'm so inspired by, that truly, I hope everybody's kids get to make a vampire. I hope my kids get to make a vampire. I think,
I'd be so proud.
And it's that fun and it's that impactful, and it could be that accessible if we choose to support indie filmmaking.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, my hope with Indiegogo is that back in the day, it was always, you'd have these films that may be funded by a very eccentric millionaire. Well, mm-hmm. now maybe you can be funded by 1,000 very eccentric people with a normal wage.
Right.
As long as you've got enough like-minded eccentric people, you know,
yeah, exactly.
It can come together, you know.
Oh my gosh.
I love that. And I love being able to interact as a fan and a viewer of the art form. I love being able to sort of push the wave in whatever direction you're interested in. Mm-hmm. And I think that isn't just another opportunity for that too. Like, if films are funded partly by interested audience, it takes away a lot of the guesswork and the overly carefulness of trying to make a film people will like, because they're saying directly, yes, we want this. Yes, we want it super gory. It doesn't have to be like some crazy, intricate, like current, fitting into the current story this year or anything like that. It's like, we want a bloody, awesome, exciting horror film.
Yeah. We'll pay for it.
Yeah.
Right. And the way, like, with Indiegogo as a platform, it is really nice because we can offer perks for people who do decide to back us at this super early, you know, level of us trying to get this movie out there. One of the ways that we can thank you guys for supporting us via this platform is by offering up a pre-release digital download of the movie. So there will be like a digital showroom where if you go on, you donate, I think it's $29. You'll be sent a link and you can actually watch Vampire before it ever comes out to the general public. So that's one way that you can, you know, benefit is you actually get to see our movie before everyone else because you helped us make it. You know, that's the idea. And our merchandise that we can also sell via Indiegogo, sell more giveaway at this point. Yeah. It's all limited edition right now. So that means, you know, it could be worth a lot of money someday to say, hey, I was in at the ground level of this thing. Let us give you something that's unique to being at that ground level of this production. Because that's really the cool part about this as well, is that it's not just us coming and saying, please give us everything you have. It's let us give you something in return. Let us show you that what you just donated your money to was really, really worth it. And we can prove that by like actually showing you the product. So, you know, like we're trying to go about this in a way that feels like, please believe in us. We believe in ourselves. And we're not just asking for handouts here. We're really offering up a product, and that product is just not finished yet. So if you want to buy our product, like, this is the way that you can get it out there to the rest of the people in the world and to yourselves. And so our Indiegogo campaign is like really based on thank yous. You know, it's based on thank you for being our sponsors. That's why we've selected the gifts that we have. That's why we're trying to show you guys the movie as one of our biggest like opportunities for being a part of the campaign at this level. We want to give you guys that feeling of, I really did, you know, I started this. I'm now getting to see it at the ground level of where it's at. And that's because I put in that $20-$30, you know, to make it happen for these people. So that really is the level that we're still at right now. But I really believe that this product is going to be exciting enough that everybody should go get that link.
There you go. You heard them there. They're excited. We're excited. Go and get involved. The more money you give, the faster you will get to see this film. I mean, I don't know what more incentives you could possibly need than that, but there it is. Right. Thank you very much, guys, for your time this evening. It's been wonderful. It's been lovely to speak to you. Fingers crossed we get to speak to you again soon. We can get things going. Obviously keep us updated, and yeah, we can't wait to see it.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll be in touch, and you guys mean the world to us. Just thanks for this opportunity. It's been really, truly fun.
Thank you for reaching out to us, because we are excited.
Yes, let's go.
Excellent. Okay. Right. Thanks very much, everybody. Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.